Much. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, with me. I will not be too long. In the book of John, chapter 1, John chapter 1, we're going to read together in verse 25 and 26 and also 27 of John chapter 1. All right, I trust that you'll find it, and so I'm going to start reading. The Bible says this in John chapter 1 and verse 25, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes are latchet, I'm not worthy to unloose." Most of us know the famous story or passage of the life of the John the Baptist. How that God one day spoke to him and asked him to go by the Jordan River. And he was to stand there and preach in regard to the Messiah that was supposed to come to take away the sins of the world. And God told John that those who believe in this Messiah who was to come, he was to take them and plunge them into believers' baptism. However, there was something significant that God explained to John the Baptist that he was going to do that day as he was baptizing in the Jordan River. And that is, God explained to John that he was going to reveal to him who the Messiah was. We're going to look at some scriptural passages and references tonight, but we're going to see that John the Baptist himself had no idea who the Messiah was. I want you to read with me in verse 26, 27, and then we're also going to read in 31 again. John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose." In verse 31, the Bible says, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And so the Pharisees and Sadducees questioned John the Baptist in regard to the fact that he was baptizing people. They wanted to know who gave him the right, the authority to do what he was doing. But John try to explain to them the easy reason he was baptizing, which means that there was a significance in the baptism that, if you would, he was doing. And as God spoke to John, as John just mentioned in verse 31, he did not know, he said, who the Messiah was. "And I knew him not," John said, "but that he should be made manifest to Israel." John said, "I also read in the prophets, and I understand the prophecy that says that the Messiah is coming to save us." And John said, "I'm aware of the fact that I'm the forerunner of the Messiah." But when it comes to a public, if you would, opinion, in a public, if you would, site of exposure, God had not yet showed the people who the Messiah was. And God said, "John, as you stand in the Jordan River, as you're baptizing," he said, "upon whomsoever you see the Spirit from above is descending on," he said, "he is the Messiah." And he says, "Your job, John, is when you see that, is to stand as loud as you can and proclaim," he said to the Jewish people, "this is the Lamb of God which come to take away the sins of the world." He says, "John, as you stand," he said, "I no longer want," God said, "the Jewish people to doubt who the Messiah was. At once they thought maybe it is you. But God said, John, I don't want them to doubt anymore who he is. Folks, understand at that time, Jesus had not yet carried the last name Christ. He was simply the son of Joseph, he was. The son of Mary, he was. But in our day and age, we take it for granted as we read the scripture. We love to say Jesus Christ. But there was a time, listen to me, the name Christ, it would have been a blasphemy to match it, to connect it to the Son of God, had he not yet revealed who he was. And John stood, and as he saw, the Bible says, the Spirit of God came on Christ. I want you to read now with me in verse 32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And he said, John said, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is, he said, the Son of God. And so as he stood and he saw God's Spirit descend upon Jesus, and John confirmed to his own heart, to his own mind, and he confirmed to the Jewish people, hey, he said, this is the Son of God. This is the Lamb who come, he said, to take away the sins of the world. And then the question is, then what happened to, if you would, Jesus after John the Baptist declared him to be the sons of God? Well, folks, the thing that took place after that is men began to come to follow Jesus. You know why? Because they understood now he is the one who can forgive them for their sins. That was the entire reason and purpose for John, if you would, exposing to the people who he was. I want to read again in another passage here, and so that we may understand. In verse 35, the Bible says this, and again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Are you listening? If John had not, if he was told then to explain to the people, to give them clarity, to make it understood clearly as crystal water to them that this is the one who come to take away their sins, those two men would not have forsaken John the Baptist to begin to follow Jesus Christ. They followed him because they know who he is now. They have followed him because now they have no doubt, they understand that he is going to be the one who is going to be crucified, if he would, for their sins. And then I'd like for you to jump down in the same chapter. Now we're going to read in verse 43. And then we see in verse 43, the Bible says, the day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son, he said, of Joseph. Are you listening? Now, Philip, he is also convinced what John the Baptist said is true, that Jesus is the Christ. Now that he understands he is the Christ, Philip is not keeping this knowledge to himself, but he wants also to expose the knowledge to everybody that he can expose it to, so they may know who Christ is. And those also become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what Jesus said. He said, if I be lifted up, then will I draw all men, he said, unto me. The question is, Lord, why would you draw all men unto you? Because every man have something in common, and that is we all need forgiveness for our sins. And none can give that forgiveness except the Son of God. It doesn't matter what the race, the color, it doesn't matter what the social status, the class is, it doesn't matter what the talent that you got, we all got something in common, that is we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And he said, if you lift me up, he said, look, he said, I will draw all men, he said, unto me, because why? He said, because for that reason, for that purpose, I was sent. And so John the Baptist did his job. He did what he was supposed to do. He was given the knowledge of the Christ. He did not keep the knowledge to himself, but he uttered, if you would, the knowledge. He screamed as loud as he can. He let all the Jewish people know this is the Lamb. Then the next day he saw some of his disciples scream again, this is the Lamb. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. Hey, he said, don't follow me. I'm not the one who is here to forgive you of your sins except him. And as he lifted him up, the Bible says, people began to follow him left and right. It is a lesson. I believe that God wants you and I to learn from this passage of Scripture tonight. And that is the reason why God revealed to us who Jesus Christ is. I'm talking to those of us tonight that are fundamental Baptist, independent, Bible believers. Without exception, maybe of one or two or three of our maybe visitors in this building tonight who may not know who Christ is, but I believe under the sound of my voice tonight, every one of you know who Christ is. And may I say to you tonight, God did not give you, if you would, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He did not give you the knowledge of exposing to you and I who his son is for the purpose of us keeping that knowledge for ourselves. There is a reason why he wants me to know his son. There is a reason why he wants you to know who his son is. That is, he is interested in one thing. And that is, once we receive the knowledge, we know who he is, like John the Baptist, all that we will stand and scream as loud as we can before an unsaved and ungodly world. Behold the Lamb of God, which can take away your sins. Amen. And bring them all to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I came to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So I was at Bible college. I'm glad that when I came to know this knowledge, I did not keep it to myself. Right. I was on the street of Saginaw Saturday with a man named Mr. K. As we were walking down the street, we had one thing in mind, and that is this. We wanted to let people know who Christ is. The one who can forgive them of their sins, Jesus Christ. I knocked on this lady's door. Her name was, I believe, Didi, Miss Didi. And I knocked on her door, and she opened the door, and I can see already in her face, she already have, a negative look. She did not want to talk to us, and I was expecting her to kind of kick us off her porch. But as I introduced myself, and I said, ma'am, I'm not from the area, I'm from Haiti. I'm just here to visit a church. And then this church would like for me to come by and pass some invitation for them. And she said, well, welcome to America. And I said, oh, thank you. I said, I'm glad to be here. And that opened up the door. We began to talk. I said, now, Miss Didi, I get paid to show people how to get to heaven. That's what they pay me to do. That's my job. I'm a missionary. And that's the truth. That's what you pay me to do. If you give me my money, I'm not winning people to Christ. You should drop me. That's the truth. That's what you pay me to do. And so as I explained to you, I said, Miss Didi, I spent 5 years at Bible college. I'm an expert on showing people how to get to heaven. And I am. That's why I spent 5 years to study. That's the truth. And I said, Miss Didi, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? She said, yep. I said, how do you know that? She said, well, I was dead and I came back alive. I said, are you pulling my leg? You were dead? She said, yep. I was at the hospital. I really completely passed out. For 10 minutes, they thought I was gone. And I came back. I said, so because you came back to life, you think you're going to go to heaven because of that? She said, yeah. In my mind, I thought, God didn't want you to go to hell, so he let you have a second chance so you can get saved. And as we're talking, I say, now, Miss Didi, let's not play games with each other. You can save yourself. Can I show you a scripture in the Bible? Of a man by the name of Cornelius was a good, righteous man, and yet his goodness could not save him. God had to find a man who was in a faraway town from where he was, and put them together And this other man name was Peter. And Peter had to come to bring the knowledge that Cornelius needed to know in order for him to go to heaven. And I opened the Bible and I showed her how that Jesus died for her sins. He was buried and rose from the dead to give her eternal life. And when I say, Miss Didi, would you like to accept Christ as your Savior? She buckled. She said, nope. I've always accepted him. I said, when did you accept him? I've always accepted him, she said. Since I was a kid, I've always believed in God. I got a little bit impatient. I said, Miss Didi, you don't get it. You're a sinner. Your church ain't going to do a thing for you. It doesn't matter what you do, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah. Miss Didi, as a sinner, if you die, you go to hell. Yeah. There's nobody that can save you from that except Jesus Christ. And the only way you can accept him is not all of your life. There must be a time when you acknowledge the fact that you're sinful, you can't save yourself, and Jesus is the Savior, and you confess him as your Savior. Otherwise, you are dead. You're going to go to hell. And I bow my head and I say, well, how about it? If you want to trust Christ with now as your Savior, get your faith out of yourself and your goodness. If you want to put it in Christ, what now? You pray with me and ask Jesus to save you. And she did. You should have seen the joy on her face. You should have seen what she heard, what she told me. It's a shame. Those religions will deceive us in that way. There was a matter of pride deep from within her heart. She did not want to acknowledge herself for what she was, sinful. And she needed, as John the Baptist says, a lamb. The Lamb of God who comes to take away, if you would, her sins. I'm glad that when I was at Bible college and I come to the conclusion, to the knowledge, to the light of Jesus Christ, I have not kept this knowledge to myself. I've been sharing it. I think of this one man in the Dominican Republic. His name is Mr. Jack. I remember as I met Mr. Jack, he sat with him one-on-one. And show him his need for a Savior because he's a sinful man. Jack bowed his head and got saved. We had a revival meeting. It's amazing that Jack understood his duty as a believer. He cannot keep this knowledge to himself. He must spread it. He must expose it. He cannot quench it. He must, if he would, let it out so that we all those who were as sinful as he was can find this truth. And Jacques began to bring people to church. And they began to get saved one after another. One after another. And I think of another man again, whose name is Finel. I remember when we got to Haiti, Finel lived right across the street from me. He was studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses as I looked from my little balcony. And I saw him across the street. He's studying with the false religion. And across the street, I said, Fidel, can I show you something from the Bible? You're a sinful man. No matter what a religion says, they cannot save you. No matter what I say to you, I can save you. Fidel, can I show you who can forgive you of your sins? And his name is Jesus Christ. And Fidel bowed his head and he trusted Christ. It's amazing. He became a Sunday school superintendent. He became a bus driver. He became a bus captain. He became, the fellow who runs junior church. Sometimes we have 650 kids in junior church. And I shared the knowledge of who Christ is with him. And then he is now winning all this to Christ one after another. Why? There is a reason why God gave us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a reason why he allowed us to know, if you would, who he is. And the reason is he wants us, if you would, to share that very knowledge with those who have not yet known who he is. That's what the apostles did when they were sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Mark 16:15, we read, Jesus Christ says, go ye into all the world, he said, and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is, if he would baptize, shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What did he send them out to do? Now that they know who he is, now that they have seen him rose from the dead, he opened their eyes, he opened their understanding and their scripture. Now they understand that everything that Moses said about the Christ, Jesus has fulfilled them. Now they understand that everything that the law has said about this Messiah that was supposed to come, Jesus says, I have accomplished every one of them. And now that you know who I am, now it is your duty to go out, he said, and to let the world know that this is the Christ who can forgive you of your sins. And they obeyed and they went from town to town and cities to cities, exposing the knowledge of Christ to the lost. And then we all know the famous story in Acts chapter 8, one of my favorite, of a man who came from all the way from Ethiopia, and he's in his chariot and he's reading. He's, of course, have spiritual interests in his heart. If you would want to know God, he desired to go to heaven. But the problem is he's reading the scripture, he cannot understand. His knowledge is closed. As he read the scripture, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost of God saw him reading the scripture, and God saw him reading the scripture, and God saw him struggle trying to understand what in the world is this passage speaking about. But God in his sovereignty, in his mercy, in his grace, then he saw this man struggling. He cannot understand. Somebody who understands what it is speaking about must come to show him. Grab Philip from wherever he was in Samaria, and if he would bring him into the desert and says, look, man, show this fellow what the scripture is speaking about. Philip, the Bible says, preach Jesus unto him. Not a religion, but Jesus. Not Baptists, but Jesus. Not the Catholics, but Jesus. Not the Buddhists, but Jesus. Not the Muhammad, well, I don't know what you call it, but Jesus. Why is that? Because Philip understands who he is. He is the Lamb of God, and only he can take away the sins, if you would, of this man in his life. And after Philip explained to this man, look, he is speaking about Jesus Christ who came to die on the cross for you, who was buried and rose from the dead. And if only you believe in him and put your faith and trust in him, your sins are, the Bible says, remitted, which means erased, which means gone. And this man, listen to me, that they confess Christ as his Savior. Why? Because Philip was willing to share with this man the knowledge that God gave him about the Savior, Christ Jesus. In Acts chapter 10, and that is one of my favorite in this scripture, and now this is, the Bible call it the Apostle Peter. And as God was speaking and also moving in the life, if you would, of Cornelius, and again, this man, as good as he was, as much as he prayed and as much as God heard his prayers and the good deeds he did for people, they all became, the Bible says, in heaven as a memorial before God. But the only problem that God was having is this. Now, he wants Cornelius to be saved. He is a good man, but it's not just the good that he did God was looking at, but God was looking at the fact that he's also a sinner. He's a sinful man. And he needs forgiveness. And the only way he will understand that forgiveness is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Somebody who knows who Christ is must go and tell him. And so understand, folks, God took Peter all the way from, if you will, Joppa, from where he was, and dragged him 4 days' journey. So he may take the knowledge of Christ, if you would, to this man so he can be saved. Now, I said to those of you who say that they call it Calvinist, when God wants the world to be saved, he will save the world. May I say to you, if that was the truth, God would not drag a man 4 days, if he would have tramped away to drag him, to give him the knowledge of Christ to another man who was in need of salvation. May I say to you, those of you who believe that nonsense, if you were, may I say to you, in Cornelius' shoes, you would have never said that. Now that you are saved, now that you got the knowledge, now that you want to play laziness with God, now that you don't want to get out there and do what God called you to do, you are giving excuses because what? You don't want to go out and preach as Christ wants you to do. So you want to find something behind which you can hide. He wants you to share the knowledge.
He gave it to you. You're the smart one. You got brain, you can think and reason. You got mouth, you can speak. Somebody must stand and let the world know who Christ is. And you and I, we know him. We know him. And those who don't know cannot do it. It is you and I who know him who must stand and proclaim the gospel and let those who are still under their sins, let them know who the Savior is. I love what Jesus Christ said as he stood before the Jewish people. He's trying to convince them that he's the Messiah. Finally, he come down to the bottom line. He tell them, look, if you don't believe that I am he said, you're going to remain in your sins. And he said, if you remain in your sins, he said, and you die in your sins, somebody tell me, where will they go? They will die and go to hell. And Jesus says, look, you need to understand who I am. And those Jewish people, and those Pharisees and Sadducees, they kept on playing games. They refused to accept him for who he was. And so he wants us to understand. He gave us the knowledge of Christ so we can be saved. But number two, it's not just for being saved. It is also so we can share it to those who have not yet come to know it. I'd like to ask you tonight, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Do you understand? He is the one that God sent to save you. Did you understand that there is nothing else that could have saved you? If there was something that could save you, then God would have never sent his son to die such a manner of death. God would be the greatest fool if he could go to church and be saved for him to let his son die in the way that he did. He would be the greatest fool if he could have joined a religion and be saved for him to allow his son to come to die in the manner he did. If you read the scripture, you understand the pain and the agony Christ went through. You ever understand, as the Bible says in the Garden of Eden, as his flesh began to tremble, knowing the cup he's about to drink, if he could, he would step away from it, but he had no choice. He had to go through with it. But listen, he prayed, God give him strength. You understand that he faced a death that nobody else can ever face. They beat him. They take him. And they nail him on the cross. A new place. That's the only way you had to be saved. There was no other way. And that's why the Bible called him the Lamb of God. So I said tonight, do you know who Jesus Christ is? And if you know who he is, have you ever accepted him as your Savior? As the only hope to take you to heaven? And thirdly, if you have accepted him, may I say to you, or ask you rather, are you sharing that knowledge? Are you letting it shine out of you as the light of the gospel? Amen. Getting out of your lips? Are you letting it shine to let people know there is some treasure from within there? The Bible calls you and I, if you would, earthen vessels in which, if you would, God put his treasure. And this treasure is the message of Christ. It is the Holy Ghost. It is salvation that is in you and me. But folks, he did not give it to you so we can monopolize it. Amen. He gave it to us so that we may let others also know the good things that we got, that God gave us that saved us. We want them to also have the good things that we got. Last story I'll tell you and I'm done. I love this Samaritan woman. As Jesus stood by the well, and this woman came, and Jesus asked for some water. Of course, you know the story, as she said, how do you, a Jewish man, ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you water? Is it true that you guys do not socialize with us? And Jesus avoided all this nonsense she's talking about. He said, lady, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water instead of me asking you for water. And she said, well, how are you going to get the water? Jesus said, lady, I'm not talking about this water. I'm down on a different water they call it living water. That's salvation. That's eternal life. That's forgiveness for sins. After Jesus Christ revealed to this lady who he was, the Messiah,
And this lady was so amazed about the knowledge she just discovered. She left everything she had and she ran to the city. And then she went and found the people and says, look, come see a man who tell me everything that I have done. May I say to you, those whom she brought to Jesus, they also put their faith in Christ Jesus Christ. Why? Because she was willing to share with the people the salvation that she find. The knowledge that she had discovered that Jesus is actually the Christ. Folks, let us never, please, let us never make excuses in God's sight. Some say I am too old. Because I'm too old, I cannot share my faith to a lost man who is in need of forgiveness for sins. But yet it's funny. The same old people who says they cannot share their faith with a lost man who is in need of forgiveness, they also share so many different other things with people. You share stories about your grandkids. You find times, you find ways to share stories about, I don't know, the kind of pain and agony you got in your body. You got doctors, you know, visit. You can talk to the doctor and say, doctor, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I got eternal life in me. Doctor, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? Folks, let him tell you he doesn't want to hear it. But you and I should never make the error of letting the unsaved people shut us up with the truth in us. We should never let that be. I still remember my craziness on the street of Chicago at Bible College. I still remember when I was on the street trying to give people soul winning tracts and they tried to intimidate me. Don't you intimidate me. I'm going to be right into your face now. They tried to intimidate me because you're some doctor, some lawyer. Let me see if the scripture would not work on you. It's amazing when I get in the scripture, they begin to do this and this and that. They're under conviction. As I go to Haiti, I don't care who you are, the judge, the mayor, the governor. One thing I know is this, you're a sinner. You need a savior like I had to get saved. Don't intimidate me. Open the scripture, folks. Don't let the world shut the truth in us. It is in us. God gave it to us so we can be saved, number two, so we can share it. Let it out. I love when I was at Bible college again. Man, I'll be going home on the airplane. I don't care who was sitting next to me, man. I preach. If I were the boss in Haiti from the Dominican Republic, I'm on my way to the Church of St. Mark, whoever's sitting next to me, they're going to hear it. Are you listening? If I am at my mom's house, relatives, whoever come to visit, they're going to hear it. Because I refuse to let the devil shut this truth that I got from within. If I'm in the prison, they're going to hear it. If I am at the bank, I get the opportunity, they're going to hear it. I refuse to let the enemy shut me up. Because the truth is in me, the knowledge is in me, I'm saved, I'm forgiven. Eternal life is waiting above if you would for me when I'm gone. And the lesson that I would let a man do is to let me be so intimidated I cannot speak the gospel anymore. And so tonight, as we have a theme that say, come and help us, you know who's asking you to help them? It is the man who is in need of forgiveness for his sins. Amen. He's asking you tonight, oh, help me. He doesn't know what he's blind Satan, if you would, bound him. He doesn't know he needs salvation, but you and I understand the scripture. Listen, folks, they're screaming their heads off, come and help me. Help me what? Find forgiveness. And as I said earlier, and as you understand, the entire world is in need of the gospel, and you send them men and women of the gospel, men and women that know how to win people to Christ. You understand, you hear their cry, and they want somebody to come and help them. Help them to know who the Savior is. May I say, don't waste your money sometimes. Some of you are dumb. You got rocks in your head. Because you take your mission dollar, you send it to people who are not winning their loss. I don't mind feeding people rice and beans, but the ultimate goal is I want you to get saved. You need forgiveness. I don't mind if you want me to, I don't know, buy you a pair of shoes, whatever it may be, medicine or doctor, whatever it is. But may I say to you, whoever it is that you're sending your money to, you need to make sure that they're preaching the forgiveness of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? That's why he came. He came, the Bible said, to seek and to save that which was lost. So I got my knowledge. I know it is Jesus Christ who forgives me my sins. And since I have that knowledge, I have not shut my lips from preaching that. And tonight you got your knowledge. You've been forgiven. And you know the one who did it is Jesus Christ. And the question tonight is, are you going to let that knowledge hide in you? Or are you going to let it out like John the Baptist did? So that we others may also know it is in Jesus they can find forgiveness for their sins. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And let's pray.